Romans 11:36 says this: "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever. Amen." The New Living Translation puts Romans 11:36 this way: "For everything comes from God. Everything exists by His power, and it's intended for His glory. To Him be glory forevermore. To Him belongs the glory. Jesus belongs the glory." And for a few moments, we're not doing our Revelation talk this morning. We're doing something for the next 10 or 15 minutes to reflect on the glory of God. We need to understand how great is our God. We often talk about God as, you know, a love, compassionate and wonderful God. And we sometimes talk that He's our friend and He's our neighbor and this. But sometimes we need to realize that although He is our friend, He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. He has never, never been on our level. Never has been, never will be, nor never can be. He is our friend, yes. But He also is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is altogether the Lovely One. He is altogether El Shaddai. He is the glory of God. It said, Moses said, "Show me your glory." God said, "I'm sorry, I can't show you my glory. If I show you my glory, you'll die, Moses." But we sometimes think of Jesus as just this lovely little guy that's on our level. I want to tell you, friend, God is a glorious God, full of power. Fortunately, and blessed we are, that the glory of God came down in the form of a man. And John said, "I beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth." I want to tell you something this morning. The Bible tells us in that verse that everything comes from the God. Everything we have comes from God. Everything exists not for our pleasure, but for His pleasure. You were created for His pleasure, that you might reflect His glory. The Bible says that the glory of God filled the temple when the children of Israel built that temple. And the Shekinah glory filled it. And there was a presence of God like there'd never been before. But the sad fact is, in the book of Ezekiel, it said, "And God removed His glory from the temple." What a sad day that was, when God removed His glory and His presence because of the children's disobedience. I want to ask you this morning, have we ever thought what it means to bring glory to God? We often use that word worship without thinking what worship is. It's not singing. It's an aspect. It's not prayer. It's an aspect. It's not reading our Bible. It's an aspect. The Bible puts it this way, that in everything that you do, let it be to the glory of God. And tonight, this morning, for about 10 minutes, I want us to go in just a little bit about the glory. I know there was a teacher, and these are real things that teachers apparently have said. You need to obviously be able to think. It says, "How old were you, Charlotte, on your last birthday?" Charlotte said, "I was 7. She said, "Then how old, Charlotte, will you be on your next birthday?" Charlotte said, 9. Teacher said, "I'm sorry, Charlotte, that's impossible." Charlotte said, "No, it isn't, because I'm 8 today." "Harry, why are you late?" "Teacher, because of the sign." "What sign was that, Harry?" "Well, the one that says school ahead, go slow." Sylvia says to Daddy, "Daddy, can you write in the dark?" "Yes, I think so. What would you like me to write? Your name on this report card. Teacher says to Sammy, Sammy, I've got a 10-foot snake in this box. Sammy said, you don't fool me, teacher. Snakes don't have feet. And the last one. Teacher says, Ben, I have 7 oranges in one hand. And I've got 8 oranges in the other hand. What have I? Ben says, big hands. They were not the answers the teachers were looking for. Funny, yes. But I wonder if I ask you the question. How do you bring glory to God? I wonder what it would be like the children, we would give an answer that the teacher's not looking for. Because this is what the Bible says glory is about. For of him means that God is the all-sufficient cause and source of everything. First of all, God wants you to know that his glory is all-sufficient and the cause and source of everything that exists in this world today. Through him means that God is the mighty sustainer and worker. My Father works and I work, Jesus says. I want to tell you, the glory of God is seen. To him means God must call every creature to account to him. All things flow towards God. Not only do all things flow from God, but all things flow back to God in his glory. And to whom is the glory? The glory belongs to him in all ages. And that's what that verse, Romans 11:36, means. And paraphrase, it means that God is the all-sufficient cause and source for everything. That he is the one who does the work. It is God who created. It means that everyone is accountable to him. You are accountable for the environment in which you live. I don't know whether you've ever stopped to thought about it, but God's glory and creation, we are spoiling, and we should be accountable and be doing what we can to make sure the environment is not damaged. Because to him, the glory belongs to him. Have you ever looked into the sky, he said, and seen the stars in the sunset? Have you ever looked from a window in a plane? Definitely not. I've got my eyes closed all the time. But have you ever looked from a window of a plane when crossing the Alps? Or ever been on a train and you've gone through the Alps on a train and seen the majestic scenery on a train as you're passing through? He says, have you ever seen that, says Rick Warren. It says, did you know even the desert reflects God's glory? So he goes on to say this, it would be correct then to say from looking at all around the universe that Psalm 19:1 is true. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor knowledge where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. In them he hath a tabernacle set for his son. We have to remember that God's glory is the physical manifestation of his divine majesty. For instance, a bird brings glory to God when he flies. Because he's doing that which he was created for. I don't know how many of you have seen that advert on television. And there's a bird and he's standing on the pavement. And I can't think of what advert it was. I tried to rack my brains. I even put it on the internet, but it still didn't come up. But this bird is standing there. And the advert is, what would happen if this bird never fly? And suddenly it flops onto its side. Because it was created and designed for flying. When a flower comes out in full bloom, it's doing what it was designed and created for, to bring glory to God. Everything was meant to bring glory to God. You were born. You at the back and you at the front. You were born to bring glory to God. How will I bring glory to God then? First of all, we do bring glory to God when we worship God. But worship is an aspect of every day. You see, you are naturally wired up to do certain things that will bring glory to God. You're just naturally wired up. And one of these things is worship, not music. For instance, who likes quiet music? Who likes, Robert the Bat likes nice quiet. Who likes classical music? Who likes the Rolling Stones? How many hands are we going to see for the... But there's some people love loud music. There's some people like quiet music. There's some people like orchestras. There's some people just like to hear guitars. So you kind of classify music as being worship because there are different aspects. Some people like ballads. Some people like rock and roll. All of those things are okay to the people who like them. So you can't say that music can be defined in any specific area because music has just a total variety, hasn't it? So music's not worship. Music is something we can enjoy. Music is something that God enjoys when it comes from a heart that has given it. Our style, whether it's loud or quiet, is simply whatever we do, we use it to please God. This is what Romans has to say. Use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. So when you're coming in to sing this morning, if you have sung because, God, I want to please you this morning in the song that I sing, then you have brought glory to God. Isn't that simple? But God has wired you up and designed you to do simple things that gives Him pleasure. If you've come to church this morning, not because you were made to, teenagers, or, by the way, your youth club's on this evening, I forgot to mention, teenagers club is on at 6 o'clock this evening. But if you come to church this morning because you wanted to come to church, that, in its simple aspect, has brought glory to God. We often think of trying to do big things when God says, no, you've come this morning, you've got a heart to worship me this morning, that brings glory to my name. That's what you designed for. Remember, a bird is designed to fly. You design a train to take you from A to B, so when that train breaks halfway down, it's not meant what it's designed for, is it? Whatever it's designed for, what is your purpose in life? And your purpose in life is that you use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Now, I wonder if you thought about that tomorrow morning. Your whole body, that means your mouth. I wonder tomorrow whether your mouth will be used for the glory of God or whether it'll be used to talk about someone. I wonder how what we will look at tomorrow that will bring glory to God or what will not bring glory to God. I wonder what we hear tomorrow will bring glory to God. Everything that we do should bring glory to God. And we who believe in Him, if we are not doing that, we are not showing forth God's glory, not only to God Himself, but to those that we're ministering to. Someone once said, and I think very rightly, they don't read their Bible, they read you. The person in the office will not have picked his Bible up before he came out to work, but he will be watching everything you do. That just simply means that we have to understand that when Jesus said, you are salt and light, it was to bring glory to God. The second thing that brings glory to God is loving others. Do you know the two commandments are summed up like this? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's the first one. And the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. And someone once said, if you do those two things, you have done every single commandment that God requires. Because if we are loving others, that is loving others this morning. Now, you might have spent £2. I don't know how much you spend, because the value of the money is not important. That will say to someone, child, somebody took some time and care. Doing a shoebox next Sunday morning will say to God, God, this is how much care. Because Jesus was not interested in how much respect you had in your holiness if you were neglecting the poor. He had this time and time with the children of Israel. He said, you think you bring your sacrifices, scrap your sacrifices. Go and feed the hungry. Go and bring justice to that woman who's a widow. The book of James says, listen, don't stand down in front of someone saying, I'm going to pray over you and put oil on you, when there's something in your pocket which you could help someone with. Keep the prayer. Keep the anointing. That's what he was saying. He was saying there was something practical you could do. He was saying, show me faith. Show me works. Not because work saves you, but he said the aspect of someone who says they're a born-again Christian, their natural aspect will be something of works. Faith and works go together. And that's all we've asked to do this morning. Next Sunday, we're asking you to put one little shoebox up. One little shoebox. And then come to church next Sunday evening so you can glorify God. We've written to the headmaster. Vala's written to the headmaster, inviting the headmaster to come next Sunday. I went into school. I've shown the DVD. I've got the children, hopefully, at school this week, finishing off their shoeboxes. They don't even know it, but if one child in Gunter Road brings their shoebox, they will be bringing glory to God. We need to understand, we need to feed the poor. We need to look after the lonely. We need to look after one another. Loving people brings glory to God. Neglecting does not bring glory to God. That is why we're going to do CAP next year. Saying to the poor and those of you in debt, we may not have all the answers, but we're going to go somewhere to help you. And then if they ask us why we're doing it, we can say because our Heavenly Father loves you. And we want to show you His love. Last year we did a fun day, and everyone was saying about the fun day. The community have asked me, when they stopped me in the street, are you doing another fun day? I said, not this year. I said, why though did you want it? They said, wow, it was great, man. Our kids got free rides. You give us free clothes. You give us hot dogs. He said, don't you know that was a real great day you provided for us? He was still talking about this over 12 months later. The counselor, our counselor, has said, are you going to put another fun day on it? We do it because we want to show God's love. And 2011, there's going to be a fun day. Julie Morris is going to have to start getting a committee up. Now, getting ready for that fun day, which is going to happen in September in 2011. I've just been asked to be a prison chaplain, a chaplain for the fire service. That's going to take more time up. But I want to do it. I want to go there. Perhaps we can show the love of God. I want to tell you, do you accept everybody in this church this morning? Can you turn around to the person next to you and honestly say, not you, Mike and Peggy, you're married. I hope you do accept each other. But listen, I hope you can turn around to someone, seriously. I hope you can and say, I accept you. And when you say with those words, know that God in heaven is looking at you. Because I accept you, Katie. And she doesn't know the work. You don't know the work this young lady does. Oh, yeah, do it. Do it. I want to tell you, if we don't love each other here, you're never going to show love out there. We're here to be a family. We're going to miss you too. I'll tell you, we are going to miss you too. And sometimes you can be in a big church. Mike and I know we've been in a church big of 200, and sometimes you don't have that relationship you do in a small church. Sometimes you can just build a great relationship. Do you know, I've gone on overtime. Okay, I'm going to ask for time and a half, but give me 5 more minutes. Listen, but I want to tell you, do you know why Jesus said these words? When 2 or 3 are gathered together, there am I in the midst. He didn't say when 250 get together, I am there in the midst. He said when 2 or 3. He wants you to know the importance of 2 and 3 people. That's why house groups are the best thing you can get involved in. Because if you were in a house group of no more than 12 people and you went every week, you will form a relationship. But you can't form a relationship with 250 people. You were not designed to. But you were designed to have a relationship, an intimate relationship with 10 or 12. Jesus Christ had 12. He had 120 who went round with him, but he ministered to 12 people. I want to tell you something. We need to accept each other. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and we reflect His glory. We need, thirdly as we finish, we need to become more like Christ. Do you know if you love somebody, Carolyn, you love us all, you're becoming more like Christ. That's not a huge thing to ask, is it? Stop having these fractions between us. I don't think there is any. Well, hopefully there isn't. But listen, just loving your pastor means you're becoming more like Christ. Just loving your next door neighbor means I'm becoming more like Christ. Just giving your next door neighbor a drink, or next door neighbor when they move into your place, who immediately goes over and welcomes someone if they've moved next door and just make them welcome. You're becoming more like Christ. Let's stop looking at the huge, humongous things, and let's think of the simple things that we can do. What can I do to show people I'm becoming more like Christ? He'll then get the glory. He will then. And serving others is the fourth way that you and I become more like Christ. And fifthly, we haven't got time. It's telling others. But let's close with this. We could have said so much more this morning. And we also are sending with them, brother, who has been thoroughly tested and has shown how earnest he is on many occasions. He is now even more enthusiastic because of his increased confidence in you. If anyone asks about Titus, say that he is my partner who works with me to help you. And these brothers are representatives of the churches. They are splendid examples of what? Of those who bring glory to Christ. What's he saying, Paul, in this verse? Paul said Timothy and Titus gave up so they could go and minister to another church. Epaphroditus was sick and ill, but he tirelessly worked for the church even though he was ill. These people brought glory to Christ. So show them your love and prove to all the churches that are boasting about you is justified or not in vain. So let's repeat that as we finish now. Number one, we bring glory to God simply by the life that we live, which is our worship. To do that, we love others. We become more like Christ. We serve others. 2 Corinthians 8:19 says, and we were also sending them with another brother who has been thoroughly tested and assured how earnest he is. And there's that verse up in the scripture. And fourthly, telling others. I want to tell you, we become more like Christ when we tell others about the good news of Jesus. Part and parcel of bringing glory to God is to tell others. We had a fantastic time at Alpha, didn't we? Alpha, in fact, they didn't want to go home Thursday night. And I said it's from 7:30 till 9:00. But they were still there at 10:00 throwing questions out. And I keep saying, no, listen, you know, you can go home now. No. And three people told us exactly why they don't want to come to faith at this present time. But I wasn't discouraged, I was thrilled they said that, because I now know how to pray. What they didn't realise, they'd just given me. And they don't realise that I'm praying against everything that they've said. But you know, I was a bit apprehensive to do an Alpha course, but I did it. And I just realised one thing. People are thirsty for God. Yes, they've got hang-ups about God, big hang-ups. But there is a need out there to tell others. And we just need to keep praying that those three people who asked questions, who are definitely coming back. I had a great time with David on Wednesday night, didn't we, Doreen? One-to-one with David on Wednesday night on the Alpha course. Friends, our duty is just simply to tell others. That will bring glory to Jesus. And everything that you do, let it be as unto God.